Hello, it's Pete here. This is the Friday edition of The Catch-Up. Thanks for joining me for it on this episode. You're going to hear the plus-size take experiences of the Rush Hour listeners, those times where you've been given the rough end of the stick just because you're a little bit bigger. Dr. Chris Brown joins us ahead of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And what have you fished out of the Swan River?
Welcome. This is The Rush Hour with Pete Corelli. Perth's Mix 94.5.
Now, we're talking right now on 133353.
Plus-sized
There's times when you cop the raw end of the stick a little bit just because you're a little bit bigger. This is off the back of a story out today that people are fairly riled up over. Peter Alexander has been accused of charging a plus-size tax on women's PJs for the larger range of sizes that they carry as opposed to those same outfits in the smaller sizes. We've got Melin Clarkson. Tell me about your plus-size takes.
Okay, well, I was bridesmaid for my sister's wedding in July.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were ordering the bridesmaids' dresses, the other two girls were an 8 and a 10, and I had to pay $60 more for my dress because of more fabric.
Because of more fabric. Now, are we, and I mean this with all due respect, are we talking a lot more fabric than the 10, a little bit more fabric? What are we talking?
No, I'm an 18 to 20, so
an
not
18
much
to 20.
More.
Okay. Because, yeah. Did the 8 and the 10 pay the exact same amount?
Yeah.
As each other? Yeah. See, I don't know. I guess if you're going to charge $60 more for an 18 to 20, then should you be charging on a sliding scale from 8 to 10 to 12 to 4, so on and so forth, you know?
I suppose if that would be fair.
I guess. Thanks for your call, Mel.
No worries,
and appreciate your honesty. Graham in Beckenham. G'day, mate.
How you going?
Good. Now, look, we're talking about plus-size piss takes at the moment, but we're also taking calls on just the whole should bigger actually pay more. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Tell me why.
I'm a smaller guy, and my clothes use less material, and it costs more for the company to manufacture bigger items, like more material, more labour involved. Just the same as building a car or a house.
It's a fair argument, isn't it? But when you consider going into a shop, and for decades we've gone into stores, and you know, women have gone into stores, and everything between a 6 and a 12 is exactly the same price. But then all of a sudden, you know, you bump up to an 18 or a 20, and you've got to pay a little bit more. I mean, is that necessarily fair, considering you can slide through the scales at the lower end?
No, it should be as the sizes go up, the item costs more.
Yeah, right. All right. Cheers, Graham.
All right. Thank you.
We got Yvonne in Chittering. You're a dressmaker, Yvonne.
Yeah, I love my name.
Tell us about the process here.
Well, it's a real hard one because I do get a lot of larger people come to me to make stuff for them, men and women, I might add. And, when I make something, I charge for the item, but then I have to charge for the material. And you've got to, I don't charge any more on the sizing. It's just the fabric involved.
Yeah, right.
You know, like I'm making some stuff for a woman at the moment, and she's very large, but she's also 6 foot tall.
Yeah, okay, yep.
You know, and yet I've made stuff for another lady who's the same size, but she's only 4 foot six.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is where it comes in. But the actual charge that I charge for the garment is no more. It's just the charge for the fabric.
Yeah. And, I mean, I suppose yours is a bit of a special case because it is a case-by-case basis being a dressmaker. But what about also the fact that, you know, in this particular case, there's the series of sizes between size 6 and size 12 to 14 that aren't touched as far as their prices are concerned, and then like the entire men's range isn't touched either.
Well, the thing is with that, and I don't want to rattle anybody's cages here.
That's all right.
Everything's made offshore now.
Mm.
So basically, in the factory, all their patterns are cut. They have their laser cutters. They cut, 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 cut. Now, when they start going bigger sizes, they've got to recut all those patterns. Now, I do my own. You know, I will make my own patterns.
Yep.
But over there, they've got to be recut, and then they've got to pay someone to do that, and then there's this and that, and all the things involved.
Yeah.
You know, it's not companies being greedy. It's where they're coming from.
It's the legitimate, credible reality of what exactly is going on, right?
Yeah, and unless you sow, a lot of people don't understand that.
Yep. Okay.
You know, because it is quite a complex process, trust me.
Awesome. Well, I'd really appreciate you calling to lend us the insight. Thank you very much, Yvonne.
No worries, Pete.
Mix 94.5's Rush Hour with Pete Corelli.
Now, the new season of I'm a Celeb, Get Me Out of Here, kicks off 7:30 Sunday on 10. And Dr. Chris Brown, you managed to get a line out of the African jungle, eh?
I did. You know, we don't have 4G over here. We don't even have 3G. We just have G. And that just stands for a gorilla with a tin attached to a bit of fishing line. That's pretty much it.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, look, the other thing that you've got there is a C, as in celebrities. We know a couple that are going to be going into the jungle already because we've started to see them planted everywhere. Angie and Evie from Gogglebox have been announced.
I know, how good. I mean, these guys, we've got to know them through Gogglebox, obviously, but Australia's never seen them off the couch and without a glass of wine in their hand. So I think they're in for a bit of a shock. And we've seen them sort of occasionally just lurking around, waiting to go into the camp on the weekend, obviously. And they look a little bit confused. Dazed and confused is probably fair to say. To me, the best thing is that they're going to be in the jungle with celebrities that they've critiqued. They may have slammed on Gogglebox, and they're going to have to be sleeping in a bed about a metre away from them. So that's the bit I can't wait to see.
I'm actually looking forward to see afterwards when Gogglebox is back on and it's a new season with them sitting back on the couch watching themselves in the jungle.
I know. I think that's when the television just explodes. There's too many layers.
It's like dividing by zero. Hey, some other stuff here. We got two controversial politicians. Now, mate, I've had my ear to the ground. What I've been doing is watching all of the Twitter accounts and stuff that have gone very quiet over the last couple of months. And I got to admit, Jackie Lambie and Sam Dastyari, they haven't been as pronounced as they usually are.
I'd just be asking the question whether they're going to use taxpayer funds to get themselves to Africa. I mean, as a network, TEN probably would be very happy about that. But not sure the Australian taxpayer would be. No, we've been assured they won't be. I'm getting the nod from Channel 10 here that Channel 10 has paid their way. So the taxpayer can relax. But look, the politicians that from differing viewpoints, we're hoping and we're optimistic that there's going to be a very likable side to these pollies. So we'll see. But to find that likable side, we obviously have to truly put them through the ringer, which is the fun part, and that's our job.
Now, have you got anything new on the cards in terms of what you've got to put these people through over the next few weeks?
Really, from day one, we have a twist like we've never seen before. That's a very, very much a TV promo.
But a twist.
Who would have thought? But, not night one, something changes in the camp that people have never seen done before.
Wow.
So, it'll be interesting. It'll press their buttons and probably increase the anger levels towards some members of camp and the joy levels towards others.
Unreal. 7:30 Sunday on 10. Now, Dr. Chris Brown, before I let you go, I've got a 2.5-year-old daughter by the name of Mila. She fancies herself as a bit of a future TV and media star. And in fact, she's already taken it upon herself whenever Dad speaks to people like yourself on the radio, she says, hey, do you mind if I ask a question as well?
I would love that.
Here's Mila's question for Dr. Chris Brown.
Dr. Chris, do elephants really like peanuts?
Now, I don't know if you quite understood that, but she saw that in one of her books a couple of weeks ago that there was an elephant eating peanuts, and she wanted to know whether or not they actually really do like peanuts.
I think they do. They have a very, very strong sense of smell, and so a lot of people forget that about elephants. They have an incredible sense of smell, so they could sniff them out. And I mean, look, they'd obviously need to eat a couple of thousand to even really notice the fact they've eaten any. But what I can tell you is that I don't believe that elephants are truly afraid of mice, like the cartoons will have you suggest.
Right, okay, wonderful. I'll just tell her yes.
Exactly. Yeah, yes, we'll do.
Dr. Chris Brown, an absolute pleasure, mate. Thank you so much for joining us on the Rush Hour here in Perth, and all the best for the African jungle. Say hi to everybody for us.
Will do. So much, Pete. We'll talk to you soon, mate.
The Rush Hour with Pete Corelli on Perth. Perth's Mix 94.5.
And in fact, I want to hear from the fishos, the ones around the Swan this afternoon. What have you seen in the Swan River that surprised you, caught you completely off guard? Now, if you're going to get to know me a little bit, you may as well get to know the rest of my family a little bit as well, because you might hear from them from time to time. It's the beauty about doing this in my hometown. It's really exciting. My brother, his name's Dan, he fancies himself a bit of an aficionado. In fact, he runs a fishing page, a WA fishing page called Mob Fishing Australia on Facebook. Now, yesterday, he's posted a vid of his catch while crabbing in the Swan, and it's gone viral. Over 50,000 Perth people have seen this thing now because of what's come up in the net and it being just a little unusual.
Hello, Daniel speaking.
Hello, buddy. It's your big brother.
Hey, mate. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad.
Geez, this bloody mud crab that you plucked out of the Swan River is getting a bit of attention, isn't it?
It is, my friend, it is.
So what's the dealio? I need to know for 100% certainty that you're not pulling the P155 out of Perth and you legit pulled a muddy out of the Swan.
We did. There's nothing better than catching a surprise. Everyone's got their opinion. Some people believe us, some people don't. But look, we caught it.
I know you caught it because I was with you at Mum and Dad's last night eating it as part
Correct.
Of the Blue Manta Chili Crab Feast that we had.
It was lovely, wasn't it?
Is it unusual to be plucking mud crabs out of the Swan River?
It is. There's a few people that have commented saying that they have caught them over the years. They reckon down Bunbury Way, Collie Way, they've caught them as well. But I believe the fisheries department says that with the Lewin current, there's quite a few that come down. So, hey, who knows? There might be a few show up over the next few weeks. Got to get out there to give it a go.
Nice, mate. All right. I'm going to leave you to it because I want to open up the phone calls on this and find out what else people have actually seen in the Swan.
Excellent, mate.
I'll speak to you later.
Thanks, mate.
See you, buddy. 1-3-3-5-3. Let's get you on the phone. What have you seen in the Swan River that's a bit unusual? Already gotten calls through. Mark in Hammy Hill, what do you got for me, mate?
Years ago, I was officiating at my son's sailing regatta on the river.
Yeah.
And when we pulled the anchor up on the start boat, we pulled up a sawn-off shotgun that had been discarded into the river.
No way.
Yes way.
That is insane. Was it loaded or was it empty?
It was all crusted up with barnacles and rubbish.
So it had been there for quite some time then?
Been in there for a long time.
Far out. It makes you kind of wonder what else is sitting at the bottom of the Swan, doesn't it?
There's a lot of spinnaker poles.
A lot of spinnaker poles?
Yeah, fjords.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. Yeah, I'm with you. All right, cheers, Mark.
Righto.
Mix 94.5's Rush Hour with Pete Corelli.
What you've seen in the Swan, what have you fished out of it? I mean, 15 minutes ago or so, we had a call about a sawn-off shotgun. They pulled up a sawn-off shotgun as they pulled up their anchor. And it must have been down there for ages. This happened a little while ago. And, yeah, just barnacles all over it, all sorts. There's stuff down there. Jamie in Innaloo, what have you fished out of the Swan, mate?
G'day, Pete. One day at the foreshore, I saw a hat floating by, like an Akubra-style hat.
Yeah.
Pulled it out. I'm still wearing it to this day. That was 2 years ago.
Get out.
Yeah, it was very fashionable. It was so good, I couldn't let it float past.
That's gold. Did it have the corks on it?
No, not quite. It's very Aussie. It's not normally my type, but I thought it was a pretty good find and it had a good story behind it.
Yeah, well, you'll pay a fair bit of money for a good Akubra. So if it's in good nick, I think it's a great thing that you've kept it and you still wear it to this day.
It was very minimum damage. I think it had literally flown off someone's head as they went past in a boat or something, and I've claimed it straight away. So apologies if anyone lost it and then wanted to find it, and I've claimed it for myself.
Oh, all tough. Good on you, Jamie. Cheers, mate.
Thanks, Pete.
Brett in Byford, what have you fished out of the Swan?
So we were out scuba diving one day, and we come across half a dozen beers on the bottom of the river.
Yeah.
And a few metres past that, we come across a pair of shorts.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there was a towel and a T-shirt and some other clothes. And in this pair of shorts, we found this dude's wallet. And we're thinking, oh, shit, this can't be good. And, we got to the surface. And on our way home, we went past this guy's house to drop the wallet off. He wasn't there, so we dropped it off at his neighbour's house.
Yeah.
And he rang me back about 3 or 4 days later because he was down south and thanked us very much for it because he didn't think he'd ever see it again.
Oh, wow, that's unreal. Now, when you're saying, you're thinking to yourself, oh, this can't be good, what do you think? Something's happened to the bloke or something?
Well, you've got a bunch of clothes and a towel and some beers on the bottom of the river, so I mean, yep. Who knows what else is down there, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, good on you for getting his wallet back to him, by the way.
Yeah, it's all good. He was pretty happy about it. He didn't cancel any of his cards as well because he thought no one's ever going to find that.
Yeah. Brett, how often do you go scuba diving in the Swan?
Probably 10, 15 times a year.
Yeah. Do you find anything else weird and unusual down there?
Not really. Just bottles and other junk that shouldn't really be there, but nothing really that's weird. So, yeah.
What about the wildlife? Have you ever come across any bull sharks? There's bull sharks through the river from what I hear.
There is. We had one bumpus around Blackwell Reach one night, but we didn't see it.
Get out. No way. You're down there at night and it's bumped you, but you couldn't see it.
Yep. So it come past, bumped us, and then went on its way. We didn't see it, but it was around there somewhere. So.
Oh, man. I just got goosebumps. The hairs on the back of my neck. How do you... That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. Good on you, Brett. Appreciate your call, mate.
All good, man.
The Rush Hour with Pete Corelli. Weekday arvos from 3 on Perth's Mix 94.5.